Amen. I'm glad you're here tonight. Are you glad you're here?
Yeah.
That was better. You primed the pump there, Pastor Larry. Good job. All right, so review. We have started a little mini-series on Wednesday nights when I'm teaching called Authorized. Okay? We introduced that, and really, it's a fancy word or the best word that I could come up with to talk about the authority of the believer. You know, we tried to ask some questions. Do we have authority that we're not using? Okay? Is there authority that we possess that we have not walked in or utilized? And so we've been endeavoring to answer that question. And last week we talked about how Jesus did deputize us. And we saw a cool Carmen video. It's cool, right? Okay, that was really weak. It was really cool back in the 80s. I'll just say that, late 80s, okay? To illustrate how Jesus gave us power over Satan, and regardless of how cheesy it is, there was a lot of truth in there if you caught it. And if you didn't, we're going to hopefully walk you through more of that and have been, because we proved through Scripture that Jesus is our empowered superior. Jesus authorized and deputized us to use that power, and that you are not alone in this fight against the devil. And really, what we've really, really been discussing or talking about is our position. And I want to kind of continue along this thought of our position as we see how all of this came about. But I want to start with some background that I first, hopefully, I think will answer maybe some questions you've had or at least have had in the past. I want to start out with a verse. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And for those of you that don't know, I use New Living Translation quite a bit. So if it sounds a little different than yours, that's probably the reason. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly." Tonight, I want to try to answer some hard questions that you have had. Why do we even have a fight? I mean, why does the devil have as much power as he does? Why doesn't God just deal with it on our behalf so we don't have to fight? Come on now, how many would be really totally honest and raise your hand and say, "I've had those questions before," or maybe you even have those questions now? Raise your hand, would you? Okay. I want to try to answer some of those questions tonight. And there's a reason why, okay? And it's kind of keeping in context of all that we've talked about. And hopefully by the end of tonight, you'll understand why I'm going here, okay? Why we went there. That verse in Ephesians states that we don't fight people. And really, when I talk to people one-on-one, I'm not a licensed counselor, so I don't do counseling, but I do personal. I just said do-do, didn't I? I do. I do have deal with personal ministry with people as a pastor. And I often talk about this verse. We don't fight people. Our fight is not against people, okay? It's against the scripture says that this verse says we don't fight people. We fight evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world. That's what our fight is up against. Now, those evil forces maybe use people, and people are deceived, and it may come in the form of a person, and that's what makes it sometimes so hard for us to not get totally mad at somebody. That Eric, he did me wrong. I picked on Eric like this once before, didn't I? He's going to begin to develop a complex, I think. No, he loves me. He knows I love him. So, but how many can relate to that? That you've been mad at somebody because of something they did to you. But you know, something that I tell my fourth and fifth graders when I used to teach a drug awareness class and about influence and choices and all of those things that, you know, I always tell them, I say, you know what, there's a jail full of people down the road that have done some bad things. But I have yet in my lifetime have yet to meet a bad person. I honestly don't think they exist. I've yet to meet a bad person. But I've met a lot of people who have made bad choices. And one bad choice maybe have led to another, to another, to another. And I'm not saying that they haven't done bad things, but they're not bad people. They're just deceived. They're just deceived. Because there's something bigger than them that influenced them to make those unwise, those bad choices. That's what we fight. This is in reference when it talks about evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world and against mighty powers in this dark world. This is a reference to the devil and all of his demons. Okay? The devil is the ruler of this world. But that hasn't always been the case. And that's where I want to go back and kind of review some scriptures tonight. I really thought about trying to just kind of float over this and tell you, but the teacher in me is going to come out a little bit tonight because we're going to teach on this a little bit because I want you to see scripture and verse. I want you to see right here in the Bible. Okay, I've copied and pasted in my iPad here to make it quicker, but it's right from here. I want you to see it in the Word because in the beginning, we actually see that Adam was the ruler of this world. Genesis 1:27. You don't have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. So God, up on the screen. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. That to me looks like Adam was in charge. Yes? Boy, I like this participation tonight. This is awesome. Okay, verse 31, just a few verses down. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. Adam was in charge, and God liked it. Adam was the ruler of this earth. That was in the beginning. That was Genesis chapter 1. Okay? Did you know that baseball's in the Bible? Yeah, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. Okay, I was doing really good till I got there, right? Okay, but when Adam sinned, however, when Adam sinned in the garden, he committed high treason. He sold out to the devil and handed him the keys to this world. You see, Adam had authority to do that. He didn't have the right to do that, the moral right to do that, but he had the authority to do that. God gave that authority to Adam. Adam sold out, committed high treason, and he in turn gave it to the devil. And I just realized I just pointed to Amanda right there when I said the devil. She is not the devil. I don't even know why I did that. Sorry, Amanda. Was not on purpose. But when Adam sinned, he committed high treason. He sold out to the devil. He handed him the keys to this world. So now the devil is the ruler of this world. That wasn't God's plan A, but it was plan B. Okay? Satan has a right to be here because Adam gave him that right, not God. Did you get that? Well, if God's such a good God, why did he create a hell for people to go to? It was never his intention for people to go to hell. That was not in his plan. Are you getting with me? Now you say, well, if it's not his plan, why did he do it all? Because he thought this through because he's God and he's a lot smarter than you and I. And he still knew, because a lot of you may be thinking, well, if he knew that Adam was going to screw up, why did he create Adam in the first place? Because he knew the end game was still going to turn out all right. And I almost have a feeling, some of you may disagree with me, and you can disagree with me, that's fine. We can agree to disagree. I almost have a feeling that God looked ahead at all this and thought, we're going to go through with this because I even like it better. And you'll understand why in a minute, okay? I may have just lost all of you, and that was just a side thought, wasn't in my notes, so sorry. But listen to this. Adam gave him that right, the devil that right. John 8:44, for you are the children of your father, the devil. Did you hear that? It wasn't children of God at that point. It was children of what? The devil. and you love to do evil things. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, who is, read that with me, the God of this world. We can stop right there. That's what I wanted you to get out of that verse. Do you see here? Satan is the God of this world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, this is from the English Standard Version. And you are dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. When we sinned, when Adam sinned in the garden, we sold out to the devil. He became our father. And every one of us after Adam. That's how this great exchange happened. So who do you have to blame? Adam. Who did Adam have to blame? I'm not going to go there. I kind of did, didn't I? Anyway, this is why we now have a fight to fight, folks. God didn't create this fight. We did. We have a fight to fight because we handed the keys over. Okay? We handed the keys. Adam had the keys. I'm not going to pick on Eric anymore. And he handed the keys over. And now the devil has them. And that's why we have a fight. The devil has legal authority to be here. That's where the fight comes in. Man gave him that power. Are you tracking with me so far? Okay, if not, come see me later because you'll probably be lost from this point forward if you're not with me yet. But I have in my notes, and they can testify to that. But God. You see, God wasn't satisfied with that transaction either. He didn't like it. So, God did something about it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, Christ is also the head of the church, which his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. And how did that happen? Adam sold out to the devil. That's what we're referring to. That's the road we went on, and that's where we are, most of us. Okay? All of us, excuse me, your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without single fault. Can I get an amen? That's good news, folks. What does that mean? Jesus Christ, by the blood that was shed on the cross, by him going to hell, taking the punishment for our sins upon himself, and then rising up from the dead because you can't keep a good man down, he purchased our freedom. He took it back. Do you see? And you know what? God didn't stop there. It gets even better. Are you ready for more? Yeah. Colossians 1, we're going to start back and go back up to verse 11. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking God the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Woo! That's good news. Did you follow that? We handed the keys over to the devil. He is now ruler of this world, and he still is. There'll be a day when that will come to an end. But for now, he's still the ruler of this world. That's why this world looks the way it does. It's not God's kingdom in this world. It's the devil's kingdom. But God wasn't happy with that, and he sent Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. And because of the blood of Jesus, he adopted us. When we come to Jesus, when you ask him to forgive you of your sins, and you come to him, it's more than just a ticket to heaven, folks. You are transferred from a kingdom of darkness, the devil's kingdom, where the devil is our father, to the kingdom of God's Son, whose God is our Father, and everything that God has is now ours because we receive it as an inheritance as sons and daughters of God. Are you getting this? The title of my message tonight, and that was just my introduction, is transferred. Transferred. We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. God didn't just save you, he repositioned you. We were from our father, the devil. That's how all of us in this room were born. And until we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that's where all of us still are. But once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, guess what? He adopts us and he makes us part of the family again. Folks, that's good news. I'm preaching a whole lot better than you're responding right now. Even though you've been responding good, we are totally repositioned. You have been transferred out of this dark, gloomy kingdom where the rules are the devil's rules into a kingdom where God's rules reign and rule. I don't know if you can really totally get that, because most of us probably have never lived in a kingdom with a king. Have you guys ever, anybody had a king? Okay, don't get super religious and spiritual on me and say, yeah, King Jesus. Okay, I get that, all right. That's what I'm talking about. But, you ever had a king? Okay, see, I don't know that we understand this whole kingdom thing. So let me reshare this a little bit in a different light. I have a passport. This passport has my face on it. It's actually an expired passport. So this passport was actually given to me back in March of 1990. Yes, I will pay and accept bribes to see this picture. Okay, you can even maybe take a picture of it with your phone, but it's going to cost you. I'm just joking. But this passport tells me I am a citizen of the United States of America. Right? That's what this passport says. So if I go to Lebanon, not Lebanon, but Lebanon, the country, am I still a U.S. citizen? Yes. How can I prove it? Because I have this passport. It doesn't matter where I go on this planet. As long as I have this passport, it represents and shows everyone that I am actually a part or a citizen of the United States of America. Folks, you and I, when we ask Jesus into our hearts, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we're adopted into God's family, and the devil is no longer our father. He gives us a new passport. You may still be in this world, but that's where it says in the Word, we are not of this world. Because we've been repositioned. God has given us a new passport. And it's a heavenly passport. It doesn't say, rulers of this dark world anymore. Your passport, spiritually speaking, says, kingdom of God. In this point, it's heaven, but someday we're going to know that heaven is going to come to earth, and there's going to be a new world and a new heaven, and that's getting into Revelation and way beyond what I even understand. But it doesn't matter where I go, I have a passport that shows I am a citizen of the United States. I once was a citizen of the world. I'm now a citizen of heaven. I have a new position. I once was a part of the domain of the devil. I am now a part of the domain of God with Christ as my king. I once was a part of the kingdom of the devil. I am now a part of the kingdom of God. And so are you. You have been transferred. You have been repositioned. But it doesn't stop there. My father once was the devil, but I've been adopted. I know I mentioned that, but listen to this verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. Abba Father means daddy. That's the closest translation to what that means. Guys, we don't have to be afraid of God. God is not up there with a big fly swatter waiting for you to mess up so he can smash you like a bug. That's not how God is. In fact, I heard somewhere of a gentleman speaking how the Bible, when it was translated from the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, did a wonderful job into the English language of portraying the picture of the justice of God. But this scholar said it really didn't do it quite justice in its explanation of the love of God. God loves you. Remember back in the beginning when I said he knew this was all going to happen because he's omnipotent, he's all-knowing? He knew what was going to happen when he created Adam and Eve. He knew the choice he was going to make. And part of my thinking is, well, why did he do it in the first place? Because that's how much he loves you. He wanted you so bad. He said, it's worth it. In other words, you're worth it. And if you think he loves you that much, that he adopted you back into the family, even after you messed up and I messed up, he didn't stop there. He repositioned you to a place of authority and gave you an inheritance. That everything that belongs to God is now yours. My son CJ, he lives in my house. He goes to bed in my house. He goes to the refrigerator in my house. He does a really good job of cleaning that refrigerator out of my house with food that I bought. Did he have to ask me to do that? No. Why? Because he's my son. He didn't have to ask me to go to the refrigerator. He didn't have to ask me to go to permission to go to his room and sleep at night. Why? Because he's my son. Everything that I have is his. Well, within reason. He'd really like my truck. I draw the line somewhere. But do you get the picture? That's what it is like with you and God. Everything he has is yours. That's what it means when you're transferred out of the kingdom of the devil and into the kingdom of God. When you receive that new passport, you have every right to go wherever God goes and do whatever God does. And not only that, we learned last week, Jesus deputized you to do it. Are you following me? Are you with me, folks? Seriously. Satan is no longer your father. God has adopted you, and he is now your daddy. If you let that soak in, that will change you tonight. And he's not a daddy that beats you. He's not a daddy that mentally abuses you. He's a daddy that loves you. And he showed that and proved that love by sending his only son to die on the cross for you. And I felt impressed to say that tonight because unfortunately there may be people in this room that didn't have a daddy. Like our Father, Abba Father, God, Father, Daddy. You should have had that kind of daddy. But he wants to be that daddy to you. I know that's not speaking to everybody in this room, but I feel like it was important to say. One more thing. We're about to wrap this up. In Ephesians 1:19, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this age, but also in the world to come. This is a scripture I know we've read and probably read almost every week, but I wanted to read it again because it's important to know that Jesus rose from the dead. And that's where the power of God comes from, where death cannot defeat you and I. But I want to show you something. But not only has Christ Jesus been risen from the dead and seated at the place of honor, but we have been risen from the dead with Christ. Well, Pastor Kevin, give me scripture. I never thought you'd ask. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. A little note, I've read two scriptures that talk about power. Do you remember those two? This one that I just read and one earlier, and I meant to say this earlier. If you look in the Greek, that word power, you know what that word means? Authority. It means authority. So I may be here on planet Earth in Lebanon, Missouri, but my spiritual citizenship is not in this world or in this kingdom. That's why the Bible says I'm a peculiar person. Because I am not of this world. My citizenship doesn't exist here. My passport is of heavenly origin. And my citizenship is of God's kingdom, the kingdom of light, with Jesus Christ as my king. I have been given a new identity. Not only have I been transferred into a new kingdom, I've been given a new identity. I am a new creation. All old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Folks, you have a new identity. Your past does not define you because your past is gone. You have been transferred into a new kingdom. You've been adopted to a new father, and you've been given a new identity. And that's important to understand because the devil is going to try to remind you of your past, and he has no right to do so because that person no longer exists. I know Bill Clinton tried that statement. But yours is true. The past doesn't matter because it's under the blood of Jesus. And that is the greatest tool and the greatest weapon of the enemy, of the devil, is to remind you of all that you were. That's the biggest vice that he uses to stop you from going forward, because he doesn't want you to know what we're talking about tonight. Because when a church starts praying and starts using the authority that you've been given, it sends the devil on the run. Too long the church has been, oh, the devil's after me. The devil's running after me and I'm trying to run away from him. That's not what it should be. That's not the authority that God gave us. It should be the other way around, folks. And I'm trying to show you how and why. You have been repositioned. You have been given authority. You have the power to send him on the run. But don't you think for a minute that authority is not going to be challenged. What child doesn't challenge a parent's authority? I could probably even say what employee or a wide variety of employees don't challenge their boss. How many people challenge the authority of law enforcement? For too long, many of us have allowed the devil to work in us and in our family and in our church. The devil will challenge you. And people that challenge, I missed a point. If a law enforcement officer is challenged and he backs down, what's going to happen? They're going to walk all over him. Unfortunately, I've been a kid's pastor long enough. If a kid challenges authority of a parent and the parent backs down, what's going to happen? Nothing good. They walk all over him. The devil, if we are not strong in our position of authority, he will challenge you because he has way too much at stake. You're a threat. The Bible says he desires to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. Folks, that's serious words. Those are beyond fighting words. Those are deadly words. But that's how much of a threat you are, the church. And when the church understands the role that they're supposed to walk in, you're even more of a challenge. So you better believe he's going to challenge you. And he's going to bring every dirty trick up in the book and then some. He created the dirty book. Why? Because you have power that can destroy him and send him on the run, and he doesn't want that. Well, the devil's been all over my back. Well, tell him to get off. You have that authority. But you can't back down. Well, Pastor Kevin, how do I not back down? We get in the Word and we see what our authority is, and we stand on that. And then we begin to exercise it. And that's where we're going to stop, because that's where I'm going to get into next week. Should I tell the title of my message? Pastor Larry came up with it today in staff prayer today. He prayed over our service tonight. And you said, we're authorized, we're deputized, and I keep hearing the word weaponized. Next week, my title of my message is Weaponized. You don't want to miss it. You have been authorized, deputized, transferred, and the only thing that I could go along with that whole thing was mobilized, which really doesn't, it doesn't ring. That's why I said transferred was my title. But next week, we're going to look into how we are weaponized. It's important to know our authority and to know our position. When we're challenged, we can stand our ground. That's why I went with everything that I went with tonight. Because if you don't understand your position, it's going to be easy for the devil to knock you down. Does that make sense? You can't be wishy-washy in this stuff, folks. If you are, you've got to understand you've got several sights on you, and he isn't playing games. This isn't a slingshot. This is M16. This is sniper rifle. This is infrared. He means business. And if you want him out of your family, you're going to have to exercise authority to do it. Because he has no right to be there. But when you start to exercise that authority, you open yourself up to lots of attacks. And next week we're going to see how we can stand against those attacks. And we can start sending him on the run. I said it once, I'll say it again. It's devil booty kicking time. Are you ready, church? Stand up. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, I just endeavor to do a lot of just teaching, to lay a groundwork of what you did for us, of who we really are. Because God, I feel like tonight there's people out here that have been abused, that have been beat up, that have been tore down, that have been stepped on, walked over, back the bus up again. And they feel like they're defeated and they're done. But God, that's not what my Bible says. And tonight, Father, I pray as we look into your word like maybe never, some of us never have before. Lord, I pray that it's not me they're hearing, but it's your spirit that's teaching them how the devil is not welcome in their families anymore. How the devil is not welcome in their jobs, in their kids, in their health, in their kids' health. But Lord, we have authority over all of those things through the power in the name of Jesus. And as we stand transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, as we stand adopted as your sons and your daughters, as we stand seated right with Christ at the right hand of the Father, as we are risen with Christ as well, God, that we would begin to see we have all the tools we need. And the devil can't stop us anymore. Say that with me, Father God. Thank you for your authority. I am authorized, I am deputized, I am repositioned, I am adopted, I am risen with Christ, I am undefeatable. You have made me a winner, I'm more than a conqueror, and I am an overcomer because of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that position. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.